This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Man, Jerry Jones, Kevin dropped the, in my opinion, Jason Garrett will be coaching in the NFL next year. With Sean and RJ this morning, and we'll play that audio a little bit in just a little bit. We got Kendrick Perkins coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll talk with him about Luka and everything the Mavs are doing right now, and maybe his standings in the NBA.
God, I hope somebody asks Garrett at the press conference.
You think you'll have a job next year?
Yeah.
He could. He could be a coordinator. He could be an assistant coach.
What?
Maybe he's a good coordinator. I don't know. At his age, he's probably not willing to take that kind of back step. But you have to love when Jerry did point out, when he decided to go very young with his coaching staff, he thought Jason Garrett will be the safety net. If there are any problems, if there's any concerns, then, and Kellen Moore's not doing well, then I can always turn to Jason to go ahead and run the offense, or Jason to go ahead and do this, or Jason to be the guy that's done this for long enough that he can take the heat, he can take the information and try and work these guys out, try and help them become better coaches. It just, maybe that is the problem, Kevin. Maybe that's been it. Maybe there's not enough organization in the coaching staff yet with this team. But they better find out fast. Otherwise, what Jerry says, it means he will be coaching somewhere else. All right, Kevin, where do the Mavericks rank in your NBA? 877-881-1053. Kevin, we didn't get into this yesterday. We didn't get deep enough. I agree with you, Shippy, number one. We didn't dive deep enough into this, but you put them in your top four. And
I did.
That's fascinating to me, but I also like it because you feel like Luka's a top 41 player, but not necessarily a leader of a top four team.
Ooh, man. Maybe he breaks the top 30.
What are you
Is
doing?
Too high?
What are you doing right now?
So, and I really like this. From the 6'8"2, I've never really watched the Mavericks before, but now I find myself wanting to watch most nights because of this station. Keep talking Luka. By the way, fun note about Luka. He has now leapfrogged James Harden in the NBA MVP betting odds. He is now second. Who do you think he's behind? He's only behind one player in the NBA. Luka, second candidate for MVP, behind only, can you guess?
Giannis.
Yes, Giannis Antetokounmpo is number one. Then Luka. Then Harden.
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Very close, Mike.
Then LeBron. Then Anthony Davis. Joel Embiid making a run up there in sixth. So, yeah, Luka is now second. So, going into the Lakers game the other day, I had the Mavericks at six, and for some reason that infuriated some people. And I said if they win, I think I would put them in the top four, and they won. And so I will absolutely put them in the top four, even though they have the 10th best record in the NBA. Like, for as much hysteria as there is, and we're a fourth of the way through the season, more or less, they still only have the 10th best record in the NBA. However, they have a slew of quality wins. Second best team in the East, Toronto. Mavericks beat them. Best team in the West, Lakers. Mavericks beat them. Second best team in the West, the Nuggets. Mavericks beat them. Team right behind them, the Rockets. Mavericks beat them. So the Mavericks have an unbelievable slate of quality wins. And that's why I put them at four. I still put the Clippers at one, because when the Clippers have all their weapons out there and they give a crap, they're the best team in the NBA. That's a fact. Then I'm going to say Milwaukee Bucks, because the Milwaukee Bucks, meanwhile, they're lingering over in the East where nobody really cares what's going on. They've just been beating people to death, and they've won 12 games in a row, and they have the largest margin of victory average in the NBA. Then I'm going to put the Lakers at third. Then I'm going to put the Mavericks at fourth. And I know that might be perplexing to some. I know that might be perplexing to some since we just beat the Lakers, but keep in mind the Lakers are still 17-3, and it takes a little bit more time for me to bump the Mavericks up, but they're already up to four, which is crazy.
So they lost the Knicks a couple times, right?
Yes,
and everybody like freaked out about that.
Those are bad losses.
They are bad losses, but that's fine. Like, you can move beyond because of the wins you've had since then too. So I think that's one of the things that everybody's like, whoa, The Ringer did a story, Kevin, that really analyzes and breaks down how he's gone on this MVP look so far. My concern is, can he keep it up? Here's the reason. He leads the league in touches, 98.8 per game.
Luka, gotcha.
LeBron and Jokic are the only other players with at least 91 or more than 91 touches a game. Luka averages about 9.2 seconds of ball time, all right? And LeBron and Jokic combined for like 10.8. So no NBA player has touched the ball as much as Luka in the past six seasons, they say on The Ringer.
Wow.
And so when you're looking at how often he has the ball in his hand and how important he is to the team, like I love that he's important to the team and that he's playing there. Because even you heard Mike, we got our guy. We have the guy. Sustainability is my only question. When does he get tired? How does he respond whenever he's tired? The fact that he played professional basketball at such a young age and is still young and has the youthful legs, I think that benefits because he already had some of the stamina, but it changes a little bit when you get to the NBA. The other thing, Kevin, is like whenever you're averaging 30.2, 9.9, and 9.6 a game, not everybody else gets to score the ball a lot.
Yeah,
What Rick Carlisle did with his adjustments is he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start putting guys on the team with him that don't need the ball that often. That way they can help out, you know, with the rebounding and the defensive side, but also Luka can go out there and do his thing, set them up. They just have to deliver whenever they get those opportunities.
And they have in spots. Like, you can look at a couple of different games where Kristaps was the difference maker, and quite frankly, a couple of different games where Tim Hardaway Jr. was the difference maker.
Rick Carlisle used 8 different starting lineups in the first 13 games, and now he's settled on Doncic, Porzingis, Dwight Powell, Finney Smith, and Tim Hardaway Jr. All right? That group right now, Kevin, has a plus 24 in 88 minutes. That's the best among all NBA lineups in the NBA with at least 80 minutes.
So, and if ever there were a time that you were going to have a really high usage rate of a player, these next several years are when you should absolutely go after it with Luka. From the 469, it's because Luka is a ball hog. He will be the next Carmelo Anthony. We'll get back to that player in just a second. But I want to point out the reason why that is absolutely already untrue. Luka has already put up consistent rebounding and assist numbers that Carmelo Anthony never did. Carmelo Anthony never showed the desire, the want to, the whatever you want to call it, to rebound and assist and pass at this level. So I disagree with that. For the 972, maybe that was part of the KP trade. The Mavericks had to give away a couple of games to the Knicks for the next 2 or 3 years. That's probably fair.
I said that yesterday, actually. Yeah, no, I'm fine with that. Give them some wins every once in a while.
Now, outside,
plus they were playing amped up, like mentally.
Sure,
I think they were treating that as their championship game.
Outside of the two bad losses to the Knicks, you only have one other really bad loss. Not that it actually matters. This isn't BCS style. Is that loss to the Trailblazers? But other than that, your losses are to the Celtics, the Lakers, and the Clippers. I have two of those in my top three, and the Celtics would certainly be in the top 6 or 7. So the thing that's encouraging about that is if you want to be an elite team more often than not, you need to bury the garbage teams that you play against. And outside of those two games against the Knicks, the Mavericks have consistently been smashing the subpar teams that they've been playing. And if you can play competitively and win a handful of games against the really good teams and smash the crap teams, that gives you a first-round playoff series that you're going to host.
All right, so you did remember early in the season we said there was the group of five that the Mavericks had to compete with. Has that group changed? Because you were competing for an 8 spot.
Correct.
But it seems now that this Mavericks team might be competing for a 4 spot. And did that group of five change? And now you still have to beat the Timberwolves, the Suns, the Kings. You still have to beat the Trailblazers and the Spurs. But has it rotated a little bit? And now are your expectations, I have to beat the Clippers, Rockets, and Nuggets?
You know what? The two of those teams are the teams I have in the mix. I don't know about the Clippers. It's still kind of hard to tell if they're going to have this like disinterested vibe for the majority of the regular season. I would put Denver in the mix. So I would say your group of three now is Denver, Houston, and Utah. I mean, you got Denver at 2, Houston at 5, Utah at 6. I would say those are the three teams that you're kind of jockeying for a position with if you want to host a playoff series. And some people might be more concerned about the matchup. Like, quite frankly, if you somehow finish in the 5 seed and you got to play Minnesota in the opening round, wouldn't you prefer that to hosting a series and opening against the Jazz? Because yeah, I certainly would. So it might be more about the matchup. But if you want to host an opening round series, I would say Denver, Utah, and Houston are probably the three teams that you need to be concerned with. But I want to take a step back and point out one of the players that somebody brought up on the fan text. Corey,
I'm furious. Mavs fans should be furious right
and
now.
And I don't know why you're furious. That's why I'm so intrigued. We did not go further in depth than this in the pre-show. Tell me which NBA player is infuriating you and why.
LeBron James.
No, it's not LeBron James. Brad Botkin of CBS Sports.
What team does he play for?
No, he's of CBS Sports.
Brad Botkin?
He wrote this. Here's the first paragraph, Kevin.
His name's Brad?
How many of you he's guys agree? Let's Everybody loves Brad. Carmelo Anthony.
No.
His teammates rave about him. His peers borderline worship him.
What?
Personally, the Blazers are usually the first team I check on League Pass these days. I want to watch Melo. He's as smooth as ever. I'm not just rooting for him. I'm prepared to die on the Melo is still good hill. That's what he said.
Wow.
And then he dropped the news that Carmelo Anthony had been named Western Conference Player of the Week, Kevin. And he said even he had to step back and be like, hold on, what? How did that happen? Now, I really want to point this out. Strictly numbers, 22.3, 7.7, 2.7 assists in 3 games last week. Luka was better. James Harden was better. Luka was over the 40-point mark twice. Harden averaged 42 points per game last week and nearly doubled Melo's output.
Yeah, he also, but did they win 3 games?
He also posted 24 assists. You're right. I guess that's the point. The Rockets went 2-1, and Melo went 3-0.
Yeah.
Or the fighting Melos, as we like to call them nowadays. Yep. Portland also played the Bulls twice and the Thunder, so I don't know if the competition was slotting in this.
And those teams are terrible.
But Luka was fantastic last week. He was phenomenal. And I know James Harden put in 62, but 60
in,
as well.
In 3 quarters.
Yeah, so I don't understand why Carmelo Anthony with 22, 7-7, 2.7 was named Offensive Player of the Week, or Western Conference Player of the Week last week. I personally have never really liked him. I thought he was great coming out of college. I was excited about that and what he could do. Then one day I watched him laugh at Dirk while he was playing for the Nuggets.
Oh, yeah.
And so personally, I got all like vindictive about it and everything. So I just didn't see these numbers just stood out in such a different way to me.
You should have known that this was going to happen because this is what Carmelo Anthony does. He thrives on bad teams. Look, I know the Portland Trailblazers have elements of excellence, and do I want CJ McCollum over here? Sure. And also, I saw some people shouting out for Kevin Love. Okay, I would absolutely do that as well and add to your rebounding portfolio. But Carmelo Anthony thrives in poor situations. It's when the pressure is turned on or the playoffs are turned on that he's like, ooh, yeah, let me see if I can just play nothing but hero ball and we're probably going to lose. Right now, Portland is 8-12. Should they be better than 8-12? Of course. Did they beat the Mavericks? Yes, they did. But they were 5-12. This is the scenario in which Carmelo Anthony thrives.
Melo scored 67 points in 3 games. Harden scored 60 in 3 quarters. I don't get it. Also, Doncic out assisted him too, 27-8. So I just
big shock.
I guess
there.
They have to give it to somebody, right? It's this week was the Hey You Played Award, right?
Look, Alanis Morissette's going on a Jagged Little Pill tour. People are enjoying their moment of nostalgia.
Oh yeah, Jagged Little Pill tour 2020.
So there's that. There's Carmelo winning Player of the Week. People are just on a nostalgia tour. Maybe that means it's time for the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl.
Remember what Morissette said in that song?
No.
About Dave Coulier?
I don't think we can get into that.
All right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.